and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody is having an absolutely fantastic day today. And how are you doing today, Deb?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. It's a great day down here in Central Florida. Weather's a little bit overcast. Don't see any chemtrails. A little bit of rain this morning, but we've got to have a lot of rain to maintain our mosquito population. If we don't have the rain, we will get bit by mosquitoes all day. Sharon was saying this morning, I can't believe I got these mosquito bites on me. And I said, well, it's living in a tropical climate. I said, it just is the way it is. Years ago, 150 years ago, nobody wanted to live in Florida. Between the water moccasins and all the other host of pit vipers we have, along with gigantic alligators that were 10, 15, 16 feet long 150 years ago. Everybody was like, the Seminole Indians going to have Florida. We had enough of that place. Until they started draining the Everglades and moving large amounts of people here via railroad, it really was kind of an unpopulated state for the past 100 years. And then it took off. And when everybody figured out they could live down here without freezing to death and actually control mosquito usage and consumption of you by screen rooms, they figured out, hey, we need to go ahead and start moving down here. And now they are doing it by the droves. By the way, Trump has punted on the border closure. He's giving Mexico a year to stop flow of drugs and immigrants to the United States. I don't really know what to say about this, but President Trump has basically punted on his plans for closing the southern border, telling a group of reporters on Thursday that he will give Mexico another year to stop the flow of immigrants and drugs into the U.S. If they fail on either count, Trump will either slap tariffs on Mexican trade cards or close the border entirely. You know, I'm trying to say something nice about Trump here right now, and I can't. I don't know what to say. I mean, he's, again, George Soros, who is a Rothschild cutout, is controlling the entire narrative here as far as the border. Trump is a figurehead. You know, as much as I don't want to believe that, as much as we prayed for that not to happen when he first became president of the United States, his past has come back to bite him with a vengeance. Now we have millions coming in this year across the border. You know, El Paso is being completely overwhelmed. We talked about it yesterday. And basically Nero is fiddling while Rome burns. And you think, what the heck does that mean? Well, you got to go back into the Roman history with Nero and Rome. And Trump's just watching the economy, or not the economy, the country completely collapse societally. And they're giving him favorable poll numbers because we have high employment rates. We have a booming economy, which is actually going to be in hyperinflation here pretty quick with the housing markets and everything else. And nobody's doing anything to regulate anything because he's continuing to do what his taskmasters want him to do, including unprecedented, unbridled immigration flow into the United States of America, along with drugs, human trafficking, etc. And he basically says, we're going to give another year. This reminds me of the Old Testament, Austin, with Moses and the Pharaoh, when there are plagues of frogs and gnats and all other kind of stuff. And the Pharaoh kept saying, well, let me think about it another night, another day, or whatever, as far as letting the people go, as he had another night with the frogs, another night with the gnats, another night with boils, another night with whatever. He just kept it going and going and going. And that's what Trump is doing. He's not being decisive. He's not being a leader. He's not closing the border. He's not doing much anything, honestly. He's given us gun control, unbridled alien, you know, immigrant access into the United States. And it's sad. In fact, a cardinal, the Vatican cardinal, Robert Sarah, warns that the West will disappear as a result of mass migration, adding that Islam will invade the world and completely change culture, anthropology, and moral vision. His new book, Evening Draws Near and the day is Nearly Over, is causing controversy in Europe because it explicitly identifies Muslim migration as a harbinger of the continent's collapse, which it is. If the West continues in this fatal way, there is a great risk. Due to lack of birth, it will disappear, invaded by foreigners, just as Rome has been invaded by barbarians, says Sarah, adding, my country is predominantly Muslim. I think I now know what reality I am talking about. The cardinal was also blamed the European Union for its desire to deglobalize the world, ridding it of nations with their distinctive characteristics, labeling the move sheer madness. And I couldn't have said it any better than this cardinal did. And this is exactly what's happening here in the United States. That's what's happening everywhere. Why? Because that's what the globalists or the international banking cartel wants to have happen. In fact, Julian Assad now is basically on really close watch as UK police are now outside the Ecuador embassy 24/7 amid WikiLeaks tweets, basically saying that he's about to get booted out and pulled out of the embassy and arrested. British police stationed armed officers outside the Ecuadorian embassy in London on Friday after tweets from WikiLeaks quoted what it said were high-level sources saying that Julian Assad could be kicked out of the building within hours, 2 days. The red brick embassy building with white window frames and balconies was quiet, and no embassy official or British authorities commented on the WikiLeaks founder's status. Again, he releases information about what Hillary Clinton did with the Podesta emails and all of her server nonsense, shows what an unbelievably career criminal she is, most of the Democratic Party are, and how the black magicians rule the world with their sacrifice and with their soul cooking parties. And what happens? He basically is going to be blown out, kicked out, and probably put in prison for the rest of his life. It's really, really kind of sad what they're doing to him. And again, this is under the auspices, the guidance, the incredible non-leadership skills of our Donald Trump. What do you think, Austin?
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, we obviously have some strange things going on, and the whole idea, the whole concept of closing the border and restricting the inflow of migrants is simply a fairy tale. It's something that the United States population wants. It's something that we demand. It's something that we required of the President of the United States. But as we have seen, Trump, Obama, Bush, none of them have done anything about this, is because this is the overall goal. If you go back and look at the United Nations, there was a giant article, not an article, it was a whole research study that they posted back in 1998, and it was discussing essentially on how the entire population of the world, well, I'll read part of it to you. This is on UnitedNations.org, by the way. This is not something I'm making up. It says the United Nations projects indicate that over the next 50 years, the population of virtually all countries of Europe, as well as Japan, will face population decline and aging. The new challenges of declining the aging population will require comprehensive reassessments, including those relating to international migration. Focusing on two striking and critical population trends, the report considers replacement migration for 8 low-fertility countries, including France, Germany, Italy, Japan, Republic of Korea, Russian Federation, United Kingdom, and the United States, and 2 regions, all of Europe and European Union. Now, when you start hearing that, you start going, okay, well, that's kind of weird. Remember, the guys, this is back from like 1998. This is over 20 years ago. And so then you go down here and you can click on the PDFs on the different summaries of each country by country by country. If you click on the United States, you pull up and they say the first main scenario is that assuming an annual net intake of 760,000 migrants per year between 1995 and 2050 for a total of 41.8 million net migrants during the period of this time. So what they're going on and talking about is here is they're saying that it's a requirement, it's a need, it's for the greater good of humanity to literally import tens of millions of migrants in the United States. And as we have seen now, these numbers aren't that far off. The population in the United States is growing almost exponentially now, and it's not because of the birth rate in the United States from United States citizens. It's from the immigrant population. And again, let me discuss this, you know, really address. I don't have a bit of problem if people want to legally come to this country. There's no bit of problem with that. I know a lot of people that have done so. I have friends that have come here legally. I've had family, including my grandmother, that came here legally after World War II from Germany. So I have no issue with that. But what we're seeing down here at the southern border is a direct violation of the Constitution, and actually encouraging it by what we've seen now. We saw again that we've seen, what, tens of thousands of more caravan people trying to come into the southern border. Nothing's getting shut down. Nothing's getting stopped. There's no active denial systems down there. There's no significant type of border patrol. It's constantly getting cut. This is because this is the agenda, guys. The whole bread and circus fodder that we keep hearing about, we're going to shut down the border and avocados are going to go up because we're shutting down the border and this is going to stop and we're going to stop this and we need a wall. It is complete and total rhetoric. I bought into a lot of it for the longest time. I really thought it was something that we were going to do. And the more research that I've done now, I have realized it is not going to stop whatsoever. And let me be real clear on this. In my opinion, the only way way we could stop the immigration into the southern border right now is for the entire United States constitutional militia in the southern part and the Midwest part of the United States to come together and follow constitutional laws and follow the guidelines in the laws of their state and apprehend individuals that are illegally breaking the law and coming into this country with the United States militia. There is no other way to do so, because as we've seen, the military has been stood down, the Homeland Security has been basically put down, ICE and Immigration Control, they have their hands tied, they have to do catch and release with everybody, the wall isn't being built, the border's not being shut down, nothing's going to change. Nothing is going to change. There's even an article that Dave Hodges put out earlier. He had a report from an individual that's a DHS agent, and they said, he said the agent told them that there were 2,000 illegal immigrants that were just dropped off by ICE in Del Rio, Texas. He said they were left without food, without money, and the receiving church had no funds to give them in Del Rio. He said, what do you suppose happened? Essentially, federal agents are being told not to even get gas in Del Rio, do not eat out in that area. In short, they're being told that Del Rio is dangerous because now the local crime rate is estimated grown over 100% just in the last month since this situation has occurred. These things are continually happening all over the country. It's bread and circus. There is no reason whatsoever that none of this stuff can be done from a presidential standpoint, at least to really curb a lot of this stuff. That's why Trump keeps capitulating on all this. He's not going to shut the border. He's not going to stop immigration. Just like he was talking about, we don't have money for the border. We're going to fight for this. We're going to shut down the government. And you guys remember, we turned around and got the report that Mexico got $5.3 billion in foreign aid, and Honduras and a couple other countries in South America got another, what, $4.5 billion? It was like over $10.5 billion in foreign aid that they were getting in 2019 at the same time that the government was shut down because they didn't have the money, supposedly, to build the wall. It's all theater. That's all it is. It's gaming theater. It's designed to keep us thinking about other stuff that's going on and say, oh, this is what we're going to do. He's going to do this. Nothing's going to happen unless we start making a stand. And when you look at the United Nations, when they have PDF files from 1998 saying that we need to bring in 760,000 migrants in the United States over the next 50 years, that's a pretty big wake-up call to everybody that should realize this isn't a game to them. This is what's happening in Europe. This is what's happening in the United States. This is what's happening in Canada. And it's going exactly the way the globalists, the bankers, the United Nations, all these guys in cahoots together have planned it for the longest time. They're using humanitarian crises. Now we heard, if you guys saw this earlier today, I don't know exactly what's going to come of this, but there's been multiple reports now, essentially, in Libya that it's exploding into another huge military violent situation again. They said invasion of the capital is likely in the next 24 hours. There was a tweet that basically was sent out from the joint EU local statement on the situation in Libya. This was from yesterday. They said the European Union delegation issues the following statement in agreement with the EU heads of the mission to Libya. We are deeply concerned by the military buildup underway in Libya and the escalatory rhetoric, which seriously risk leading to an uncontrollable confrontation. We urge all parties to immediately de-escalate tensions and cease all actions of provocation. There can be no military solution to the Libyan crisis. That's because we have armed Libya for the last 20 years, and then when we had a ruler that was actually keeping that country under control, Gaddafi, and he decided, you know what, I can keep Libya under control, and while I'm at it, I'm going to start a full African gold-backed currency that we're going to start trading oil in. Oh, there we go. We're going to start trading oil for gold in Africa. That's uncalled for. No, we can't do that. Oh, imagine that. We go in and overthrow Gaddafi with the United Nations and the EU. We let him get run out. He basically gets crucified, gets killed. We take over the country, goes on a full-blown civil war while we continue to arm everybody in that country, including giving them surface air missiles, and then turn around and wonder why the country's in disarray. Oh, we don't know what happened. It's just going in conflict all the time. We don't know how to do anything about it. This has been the ideology for the decade, is to keep that area completely under control with war so they can't control and do all of their different natural resources they have, trade them, sell them, barter them in gold, with oil, with everything, completely take over the resources, put in a Federal Reserve Bank, and maintain full control over that region of the area. So people don't want to talk about what that's what's going on. They don't want to talk about what's really going on the southern border and why the United Nations is claiming that we need to have 760,000 migrants every single year brought into the United States, which has been going on definitely. These are the things that people need to address and why nothing is being done. And that's why there's been a lot of individuals that have been, like I said, the Texas militia, New Mexico, Arizona militia. They have been discussing different things on how to handle this situation from a constitutional standpoint, because they have realized now nothing is going to be done from our government. They're going to sit back, sit on their hands, pretend nothing is going on, talk big talk about all the different things we're going to do. We're going to shut the border. We're going to build a wall. We're going to stop all this stuff. We're going to shut the government down until we get a wall. And nothing is going to happen. Doesn't matter if Trump gets reelected in 2020. None of it is still going to happen. All bread and circus to keep everybody occupied while they still continue to wait on the big giant cube movement to sweep us in like Superman and save the whole United States while we all sit here and roast in a pot like a frog is essentially what's going on, Ned.
You know, you're absolutely right, Austin. I mean, the Q thing has just been a huge, huge deterrent for the Patriots that had really, really started their own grassroots movement several years ago in order to get this thing moving and to put the pressure and keep the flames turned on Donald Trump. But Donald Trump has other problems. He's friends with Jeffrey Epstein, the great pedophile from South Florida, who's still basically got his pedophile island running full throttle. And, you know, he's appeared on the list, been on Jeffrey Epstein's private, you know, plane to pedophile island. Trump's got some serious, serious things that have compromised his life. And they know that. And again, anybody who gets to that level, they're going to have those types of things. Criminal actions, you know, this whole thing was like a big rattling the saber swords for the last 2 years with the Rump collusion, making sure that Trump fell in line with what he was supposed to do to show Trump that they had the ability to do whatever they wanted to do to him. You say, well, he didn't do anything wrong. Let's stop for a second. Guys, it doesn't matter if they charge you with certain crimes, whether you did them or not, because you're being tried in the court of public opinion. You're being tried in the court of, we're going to put you and your family and your children and everybody else in jail opinion. We're going to destroy your life opinion, and we're going to basically make your life miserable opinion. This is what they do. It doesn't matter if you get found that you didn't do anything wrong. You just basically, you've already been tried in this court. I mean, the mainstream media, which is Rothschild controlled, let's start here for a second. The mainstream media, which is communist controlled, I can say that too, same thing. It's basically against Trump, but they're also for Trump. What does that mean? Whenever Trump does something right, like when he sent missiles into Syria a few years ago, they were all happy, happy, rah-rah, hoopla, Trump. It's the same narrative. It's the same group of people controlling both sides of the narrative. I read an article today with Pat Buchanan. It was very well written, by the way. And he was basically saying, well, here's what we're going to have in 2020 with Trump, and here's what we're going to have in 2020 if Bernie Sanders, the socialist, wins against Trump, as far as how we're going to have this communist nation. See, again, they don't want a pure communist nation here either. They don't want that. And Pat Buchanan, by writing an article like this, because Pat's written some very good articles in the past, he continues to define the narrative of the left versus the right. He continues to basically reinforce in the American population's mind that we basically have a fight in our country against a boogeyman, a communist boogeyman. The problem is, it's not a communist boogeyman. It's a socialist, communist, banker, Rothschild, Vatican, satanic, wizard ruling the planet boogeyman. Okay, and these guys control. It's like you see these old movies with these nasty old guys walking around with these long fingernails and these fangs, and they're basically just, they're demons is what they are, and they're basically doing all these horrible, you know, seances and weird things they're doing to control outcomes of certain events. We really have that going on. Okay, these guys are really doing that. They're controlling the energy field around the planet. These are the guys that are involved with all of this. It's like Otto Kahn said, that I've quoted 100 times on this show back in the 20s. We control both sides of the narrative. We basically, these are the same wizards of the Dark Ages. You know, you heard of Merlin the Wizard and all these guys. These are the same guys that have been doing this now for thousands of years, all the way back to Egypt. And I've done a whole show on this going all the way back to Genesis chapter 6. This is the same group, the Baal, the Moloch, the Asherah, the Luciferian, the satanic worshipers, the ones who worship the other entities that are the bad guys. And this is that group that goes into their DMT-induced stupors and basically talk to these things in other dimensions. That's the guys who run the planet. I mean, these are the guys that are bringing in a full 5G network with 25,000 satellites to control every thought of every man on this planet. They're going to make everything connected to the Internet of Things. Every plant, every tree, every appliance, you, everything's going to be monitored. They're going to put these things, these microwave transmitters on pretty much every other telephone pole all over your neighborhood. It's funny. They can put millions and millions and millions of 5G telephone poles up. And these expensive units all over the country, they're installing them right now, but they can't put active denial systems on the southern border. What, are you kidding me? We're going to be putting tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of these things up. We do the same thing on the southern border. We would not even have to even put a fence up if we put active denial systems up there. We're continually sweeping the border for 100, 200 yards. Everybody get close to the border. We can't get close. And if you really want to make them good, set them up and turn them up high enough that they go for 1,000 yards. That way you can't even get a sniper to take a shot at one of the things and knock it offline. I mean, but we can spend all these hundreds of billions, if not trillions of dollars, implement 5G, 6G, but yet we can't turn around and just put the same type of technology on the southern border to stop the people from coming in. Why? They don't want the people to stop coming in. This is all part of what that cardinal said. It's to destroy Western culture, and it's to destroy Christianity. You have to keep your eyes on the ball. You've got to look at everything with a Christian lens. Last night I had a friend of mine. His name is John, and I've known him for 40 years. And he's a heathen, or was a heathen. And I got saved, oh gosh, you know, almost 40 years ago. Over 40 years ago I got saved. I got saved back in 79, and I had known him all the way until the mid-70s. I met him in about 73, 74. I got saved like 6-7 years later. And I've been talking to him about Jesus now since then. Finally, a couple years ago, he started dating a Christian girl, started going to church, and got saved. And last night, it was such a blessing to me. I was discussing with him life, world, etc. And he kept talking about Jesus, about the cross, about what Christ did. And he goes, Ted, you got to understand this, Ted. You got to get this. Jesus was real. And they really did this to him. And I said, I know, John. I've been telling you this for over 40 years. And he was so excited that he was finally understanding and seeing the truth. This is the truth that I'm telling you right now. This world has been here before. We had a pre-Adamic civilization, maybe several times. We don't know. And then we have this current civilization that was wiped out, you know, with the Great Flood. And they came back to do the same thing they've done before as far as destroying God's creation, because they hate you and they hate God's creation. And God finally had enough of it when he saw what was going on. He saw that giving people laws and requiring them to sacrifice the bulls and goats and cows and chickens and pigeons and stuff wasn't working, because they couldn't break the habit of sin, because Lucifer had gotten them so caught up in the ways and the world of the world and the satanic sacrifice. So finally he realized there was only one way to stop it, and that was to send his son. His own son. And Jesus came and talked about it. He said, you know, about the parable of the vineyard and how if we send their son, and they said they'll kill the guy who brings the son, the owner of the vineyard's son. They'll kill him. He told the people the parables before this happened. He knew they were going to kill him. Now, I believe with all of my heart that the ruling Sadducees and Pharisees and the ones who had Jesus crucified, they knew he was the Messiah. They knew who he was, but they did not want to disrupt their way of life or their relationship with Rome. I believe that they knew he was who he said he was, and yet they killed him anyhow just because they were jealous of him, or they did not want him interfering with their lifestyle. You think, wow, would they really do that? He said right to them in the book of John, you guys, they said, we're the children of Abraham. He said, you're not. You guys are basically the children of Satan. And he goes, this is who you are. And he says, because he understood what they had done the night before and their satanic practices and their rituals with all the weird stuff they had learned in Egypt and from the fallen angels and all the stuff. He knew who they were. And this is that same group, that synagogue of Satan, that has completely filtered its way through and weaved its way through our entire historical evidence for the last 2,000 years. And they're still the same guys who run the media, who run Hollywood. But what happened is when Christ came in, and there was this huge movement towards Christianity, and the world, the entire Western continent, Western civilization, starting with Rome, became Christian. It changed everything, and it kept us going for 2,000 years under the banner of the cross. And then what happened is the people, the synagogue of Satan, was basically really, they were basically just, everybody pointed them out for who they were and what they did. And they became very bitter and very angry that they had basically crucified the Roman Messiah. And when they took control of the media, and they took control of Hollywood, and they took control of the major corporations, and they took control of the financial system through Babylonian money magic, which they'd also been taught, I'm sure, from Lucifer as far as fractional reserve banking. When they did all of this stuff, one of their primary goals, guys, listen to me, was to get rid of Christianity. And the way they had to do that, they had to get rid of the nuclear family in the United States. They've already gotten rid of Christianity pretty much in Europe. Very few people go to church because they made it so now in Germany, if you go to church, you're charged on your as taxes. You have to pay an income tax because you belong to a church. And so if you get whacked for 10% income tax to support the local ministries, which gets divided up among the churches, people start saying, well, I'm not going to take a 10% cut in my salary, so I'm just not going to go to church. So they've been able to completely destroy the church in Germany. Very few people ever go to church at all in Germany or in Europe any longer. You go to the cathedrals, they're pretty much empty, except for really old people who aren't going to stop going because of what the government had done as far as taxes. And this is what the whole goal has been here. It's been the atavistic hatred of Christianity to destroy the message of the cross, to bring in foreign religions like the Muslim religions, to basically compromise Catholicism with priests that like to screw little boys. Excuse my language, I know that's kind of crude, but that's what they do. Bunch of sicko pedophiles. Let's call them for what they are. And we've got a whole group of people now that have compromised the Catholic Church. We've got the Christian churches, the evangelical churches, basically selling indulgences on TV, which is the same thing as the Catholic Church did. They're completely and totally compromised. We've got a bunch of other churches now with the Baptist churches, which is where I go, that all they want to do is promote Zionism, the rebuilding of a third temple to bring in the Antichrist. They want to believe they're going to get raptured and watch this basically horrible thing that happens with the Antichrist on this planet from the heavenly grandstand so they can applaud as they watch, you know, the Jews convert to Christianity, which, you know, they're going to convert. Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess, but they wanted to manipulate the situation to do all that. So what we've done by all of these things is we've rendered Christianity impotent, especially with Hollywood. I mean, more kids look at Hollywood. I mean, look at the social media stuff and how we've had all these brain entrainment techniques they've done and the aspartame and all the other stuff that we've talked about. All of this stuff has been done for one specific reason, to destroy the message of the cross. You say, well, gosh, Ted, that's kind of simplifying everything. Well, yeah, it is simplifying everything. That's where it all points to. They want a one-world government, a one-world religion, and a one-world currency that does not include Jesus Christ. They don't want Yeshua in the middle of the mix because they know that he is the one who changed everything. The problem is they're not going to get rid of Christianity because there's still enough of us out here who believe strongly in Jesus Christ and what he did for us. And we know how much our lives have changed by the message of the cross. And how much peace that we have from the message of the cross. Why? Because we know who Jesus is, because we have a personal relationship. It's not about a religion, it's about a relationship. It's about praying every day. Like this morning, I had the opportunity and the privilege to pray for all of you again. Picked a bunch of people, a bunch of separate people, who basically are a bunch of single guys that I know who email me, you know, because they're all patriots and they are looking for spouses and, you know, and godly women. And I prayed for them this morning. And I pray for a bunch of people today because I want you guys to know that you're part of my family and we're all in this thing together. But guys, you have to keep your eyes focused on what these clowns are doing. It's not about the border. It's not that. That's not what it's about. It's not even about, you know, what's going on in Saudi Arabia now wanting to dump the doggone petrodollar, and they're threatening to dump the petrodollar if they're held accountable for, you know, for trust violations in the United States. It's not about any of that. What it's about is to destroy Christianity, because they know that when we pray in aggregate, we disrupt this wizard field, this electromagnetic energy pattern, the veil that's been put around the minds and the hearts of the unbeliever. We disrupt it from a spiritual standpoint because prayer is scalar technology. Now, we didn't know that thousands of years ago when we were praying, but we know that now. If you listen to the show, you know that. And you know that we actually physically change the fabric of space-time when we pray. And that just really ticks these guys off because they're running around sacrificing humans and all kinds of other crazy nonsense. They do sick stuff in order to maintain the energy field So when we come in and we disrupt it, it's like they're like, oh no, man, these guys are praying again. Oh my gosh, they're praying again. I can't believe these guys won't stop praying. See, this is what it's all about. It's prayer and having a relationship. Another perfect example of this. Look what they're doing with the eugenics protocol. This is all about getting the population of the United States to stop reproducing. Eugenics, that's what it is. Western culture, they want it gone. They started this massive immunization program. They knew what it was going to do with the MMR vaccine, which is a live virus. They're giving this to all these kids and people, you know, and now we have these huge mumps outbreaks. We got a whole ship full of people right now that have been quarantined because the guys have come down with mumps. You say, well, what's the big deal to come down with mumps? Guys, when you're an adolescent, you're 5, 6 years old, you get the mumps, you get a lifetime immunity to it, you haven't gone through puberty yet, it doesn't really affect your testicles or your reproductive capabilities. You get mumps as an adult. It can sterilize you. I mean, permanently. Let me read you this. This is from Kennedy, from the Children's Health Defense Fund. MMR vaccine poison pill, mumps after puberty, reduced testosterone and sperm counts. Well, there you go. How about that? Across the country, frenzied legislators are responding to the pharmaceuticals industry orchestrated fear campaign around measles by seeking to impose further mandating of Merck's measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine, although this is what's causing all these problems. Although ongoing mumps outbreaks involving thousands of at-risk adolescents and young adults completely dwarf the number of measles cases. No one is covering the mumps story because it will expose the fact that Merck has been in court for over 8 years due to scientists blowing the whistle on Merck's fabrication and falsification of the effectiveness of the mumps component to its MMR vaccine. Instead of punishing Merck for chicanery, legislators are rewarding the company by making it impossible to refuse Merck's profitable vaccine, subjecting a generation of children to the risk of serious complications from mumps with infection at an age that nature never intended. When younger children experience mumps, the virus is relatively harmless. Infected children often exhibit no symptoms. When mumps strikes adolescents or adults, on the other hand, the infection can cause far more serious adverse effects, including inflammation of various organs, brain, pancreas, ovaries, and testicles, as well as the permanent damage of male fertility. Again, reduction of population. Inflammation of both testicles, a condition called orchitis, occurs in approximately 1 in 3 post-puberty men who get the mumps, and can contribute to sperm defects and subfertility as well as impairing the function of cells that produce testosterone. An estimated 30% to 87% of men with bilateral orchitis, or both testicles involved, induced by mumps experience full-blown infertility. I'm going to repeat that. 30 to 87% of the men who basically get mumps and have both testicles get inflamed have full-blown infertility, which is a major cause of concern given the significant declines in male fertility observed in the past several decades. Thus, it appears that Merck's vaccine, instead of protecting children, not only delays the onset of disease to a later age, but also causes permanent sterility. Guys, this is being done on purpose. They know this. They've been in lawsuits over this. Reagan gave them the ability to produce this garbage and put it into you and not have any blowback from it or lawsuits. You turn the trial attorneys loose on these people like they did back in the 80s, these guys will stop producing vaccines within 2 to 3 years because they're all going to be bankrupt. It's like Monsanto is going to be bullied up and pushed over because of what's happened with Roundup and, you know, glyphosate. You know, you can't put this poison out. I mean, if you have a supplement manufacturer, a few years ago, we had L-tryptophan. We had a couple contaminated batches of L-tryptophan. This is 20, 30 years ago, come in from China because people were bringing in some sub-quality standard stuff, and a few people got sick and died from the L-tryptophan. They yanked L-tryptophan off the market. You know, they just took it off, you know? And so you go, what the heck, man? You know, a couple of products go bad with L-tryptophan. It was a great sleep aid. All of a sudden, it's gone. I think, why would they do that? Because they don't want natural treatment protocols out there. They don't want shows like this talking about what I'm telling you right now. I mean, I made sure that Austin was exposed to mumps when he was little. He had the mumps. You say, well, you made sure of that? Yeah, because they're still having people get mumps. No big deal. I think he got exposed to measles, too, because it was no big deal. You know, I don't want him to have to come back and deal with this later in pubescence and be sterilized the rest of his life. This is a major problem, guys, and nobody wants to talk about it. The mumps outbreak is much, much, much worse than the measles outbreak. And that ship now that's been sitting out there, that Navy ship with this mumps outbreak, it's been sitting out there for weeks now because they don't know what to do with it, because these people who got these vaccines from the Navy or whatever thought they had basically an immunity to mumps, and now they're dealing with all of this mumps stuff on this boat, and it's been basically quarantined. Why? because they realize how dangerous it is for an adult male to get mumps. In fact, the Navy's fighting to get a rare viral mumps outbreak under control after it stranded a U.S. warship at sea. The USS Fort McHenry has been quarantined at sea for months due to a viral outbreak of what's being called the mumps. Since the story broke earlier this month, two more service members have fallen ill, raising the total number of infected personnel to 27. It is not common for us to see outbreaks of vaccine-preventable viral infections, the Navy Bureau of Medicine and Surgery told BI. That's a lie. This vaccine is giving people the mumps because of the shedding. Same thing with the measles. And all of this stuff is happening, and nobody in the mainstream news is talking about it. Or if they are talking about it, if they give you a brief mention, they say, because of vaccine noncompliance, we have all of these people getting diseases around the country. Wait a minute. When you go into the military, unless you're in the officer's ranks, you get shot up with about every vaccine known to man, whether you had it before or didn't have it before. They want to make sure you got it, all right? So don't start this nonsense that these people weren't vaccinated because they were darn sure vaccinated and they got the mumps. What do you think, Oz?
No doubt about it. And one thing you got to remember is, I mean, Merck is consistently in the top five pharmaceutical companies globally. They're up there. They're untouchable. They're up there with GlaxoSmithKline. And so, I mean, when you see a lot of this stuff, and I mean, they blatantly falsified data for this to get the FDA to approve the MMR vaccine. The MMR vaccine is single-handedly one of the worst, most dangerous vaccinations on the planet, in my opinion. It's right up there with the Gardasil, the HPV vaccine. MMR has been wrapped up in so many different scandals, including the one that the CDC, when they looked at it, they found out that the black boys that were getting the MMR vaccine, it was directly causing autism in a significant portion of them. Same vaccine again. This is the same one with two whistleblowers back in 2005 asserted in a lawsuit that not only was the MMR vaccine far less effective than the 95% effective rate that the FDA required it to be, it was somewhere in the 60% effective range and didn't even address the long-term effects and side effects from the MMR vaccine. They reported that when they headed the trial, Merck had willfully and illegally maintained its monopoly through ongoing manipulation by representing to the public and government agencies a falsely inflated efficacy rate for its mumps vaccine. Specifically, the two scientists claimed that Merck executives ordered them to use rigged methodologies, including taking antibodies from rabbits and adding them to human blood vials in order to gull regulators into assuming an antibody response robust and durable enough to merit licensing. When those enhanced tactics did not achieve Merck's fabricated 95 efficacy rate, the whistleblowers alleged the company resorted to simply falsifying the test data and engaging in further fraudulent activities. Is it strange to anybody else than me that very few people are actually understanding what is going on with this vaccination debacle that we've seen now? I mean, we know that we were lied to about tobacco, right? We know that it was a toxic substance. We know that it caused all types of health issues. We also know that asbestos was approved, and it was also extremely toxic, extremely nasty. We found out that glyphosate was approved. Now we're finding out, 30 years later now, that it's incredibly toxic and causing health issues. We found out that BPA, brought back in the 70s, is unbelievably toxic and increases estrogen and mimics estrogen in the body. That's being addressed now. All these different things have been brought up over the years, except the vaccination is one topic that has been verboten. Nobody is allowed to talk about it whatsoever. Nobody. You know what I mean? They're doing it so much now that, I mean, they're banning it on social media. Anybody that addresses any of this stuff, oh, it's okay. You're not allowed to talk about that. That's verboten. You can talk about DDT and how it was approved in the 40s. That's banned now. Or mercury fillings back in the 20s was approved. That's unbelievably toxic now. You talk about all these other things that we found out that were later on much more toxic. But, man, you start bringing up the fact that GlaxoSmithKline and Merck have been falsifying evidence in the MMR vaccine. You find out that the HPV vaccine causes sterility and Guillain-Barre syndrome and a significant portion of the females that get injected with it. That's fake news. Can't talk about that. Fake news. We're banning you. Can't talk about Twitter. Can't talk about Pinterest. Can't talk about Facebook. Fake news. Ban. This is what they're doing, and this is what the entire the Russian collusion, the more I've looked back at this, the whole fake hoax Russian collusion, it was used for so much more than I think any of us are even fully comprehending. They've used it now as a carte blanche blanket to cover anything up that they want, all under the guise of fake news. I saw an article earlier here. This was so troubling to me. CNN's Christina Amporz from CNN suggested in an interview with James Comey that the FBI and law enforcement agencies should have stepped in 2016 and prevented supporters from chanting "lock her up" when referring to Hillary Clinton. I kid you not. She asked Comey straight out, of course, lock her up was a feature in the 2016 Trump campaign. Do you in retrospect wish that people like yourself and the head of the FBI, the people in charge of law and order and law enforcement, had shut down that language? Continue to say that it was dangerous potentially and it could have created violence and it's hate speech. Should this have been allowed or should you have guys clamped down and not allowed it to occur? Comey actually came out and said something that I rarely ever agree with. He said, that's not the role for the government to play. That's the beauty of this country, is that people can say what they want, even if it is derogatory. This is what we're seeing now. The mainstream media has used this election in 2016 as fuel to compromise the entire freedom of speech, the entire ability for us to ask questions. I mean, you don't think that this is occurring in other countries? Guess what happens when they put up a billboard in Australia that says, do you know what's in your vaccine? Question mark. It's pulled down within days, banned, verboten. You cannot speak about that. You cannot ask that question, peasant. You are not allowed to ask what's in your vaccine. You shut up, pull your sleeve up, take your injection, smile and be a good boy and go on your way, peasant. Do not ask questions unless told to. This is what they are doing, and it's so frustrating to me that so many people in the population are so brainwashed into thinking that this medical industrial complex is designed to protect us and keep us safe and keep us healthy, when in reality it's the exact opposite. Like I said, look back at tobacco when it was approved. Look back at DDT. Look back at bisphenol A. Look back at asbestos. Look back at mercury fillings. When are we going to come forward and start asking questions about vaccines instead of blindly following what the mainstream media parrots and what the medical industrial complex demands that the peasants underneath it follow, Dad?
You're right. We don't have the right to question this. And think about it for a second. These guys with the vaccines, now think with me for a second. They intentionally falsified test results. They intentionally changed research studies. They intentionally skew results. They straight fudge the doggone results and lie. But they can't be sued. Think about that for a second.
Yep.
They can do whatever they want to do. They can make it as poisonous and as toxic and as horrible as they possibly can. And they can have huge death rates associated with it, which they do. And huge autism rates associated with it, which they do. And huge problems with autoimmune diseases, which they do. And they can lie about all the tests. And they're immune. They can't be sued. What the heck? How can you do stuff like that? And that's all because of what Reagan did. Because Reagan, again, when he got shot a few months into his presidency, his White House was run by George H. And George H., another one who capitulated. His father capitulated with the Nazis, Prescott Bush. Look it up. Yeah, he's another one of these globalists, international banking cartel, you know, cutouts. I mean, that's who these guys are. It's like the Rockefeller Institution with Hitler. The Rockefellers and Standard Oil owned a lot of the refineries in Europe and in Germany during World War II and prior to World War II. Now, the Rockefellers were funded by the Rothschilds. They were another Rothschild cutout. So Hitler was controlled in Germany by the Rothschild banking cartel and the Rockefeller banking cartel in its war buildup years prior to World War II. And then in 1938, when Hitler said, genug, enough, and threw the bankers out and said, we're not doing this anymore, we're going to issue debt-free currency, whoa, then all HE double sticks broke loose because he had turned on his captors and his bankers. The Bible says, it's clear, that the borrower is servant to the lender. And Hitler saw this. He knew that as long as he allowed the international banking cartels to rule Europe through the Federal Reserve systems in Europe and in play in the individual countries, that he could never break loose from the shackles. You know, the shackles of the shekels, I guess you could say. And he knew he couldn't do it. He had to break loose, and he did. And when that happened, all hell broke loose. World War II started. And again, I'm going to say this. Read the book, The Bad War. Why is it that when Germany invaded Poland and Russia invaded Poland, and Russia came in and killed tens of thousands of officers in Poland, the Polish military took them out on a barge and sunk them, and they blamed it on Germany. It wasn't even the Germans. It was the Russians who did that. That England declares war on Germany alone and not on Russia. The reason for that, England was Rothschild-controlled then and still is. Goes all the way back to the Napoleonic Wars with the takeover of the English government with Napoleon, way, way, way back in with the Rothschild banking cartel. And they weren't going to go after Russia, which was also now communist, controlled by the Rothschild Empire. And it was Germany who had gone against the international banking cartels. This is what happened. We had our, you know, and I'm not a fan of Hitler. Don't get me wrong. I'm not. But his leadership skills through the 30s in getting rid of the international banking cartels and getting rid of the Federal Reserve Bank in Germany in 1938 was exemplary. It was. You say, well, you're bragging on Hitler. I'm not bragging on Hitler. I don't like Hitler. I'm just telling you, he wasn't a good man. He wasn't a moral man. He made a lot of mistakes. He went nuts on all the drugs they had him on. But I'm telling you, his leadership skills, getting rid of this international banking cartel, it would literally take somebody with the leadership skills that Hitler had before he went nuts in the United States to control what was going on. That's why when Hitler came in 1933 and they had the burning of the Reichstag and he declared his own Patriot Act, and I'm not saying any of that was right. I'm just saying that this is what it was necessary in order to shake these guys loose and get them out of government control who were involved in trying to force communism into Germany. It's something that we have to look at and say, hey, wait a minute, what happened? And again, this is what I told you guys, and I taught you guys this. This is why the Federalist Society and all these other groups that went around, you know, have been pushing a lot of different agendas. And this is also why this group of people out of Germany went over to Colombia and they started this think tank in order how to destroy the nuclear family. This is what these guys do. This is what they've done because they had to figure a way not to ever let that happen again. They did not want anyone to come in and get rid of the shackles from the international bankers. And they had to figure out how it was done. Now, let me change topics here. I've talked about this many, many times, and I wanted to pull this up yesterday because I have my buddy who called me up has a 44-year-old son who started smoking dope pot when he was 12 years old and never stopped, and he still basically lives in his mom's basement, I kid you not, and stays stoned all the time, sits around, watches porn all day long, stays stoned all the time, and still wears his high school clothes. Okay. And I told my friend last night, I said, you know, a lot of this is because of what happens with marijuana and how it stops developing brains in adolescence. So I sent him a few links last night, and I've posted these on the website, so I want you guys to know what they are. Marijuana may hurt the developing teen brain. Study. The teenager's brain has a lot of developing to do. It must transform from the brain of a child into the brain of an adult. Some researchers now say that marijuana might affect this crucial process. He goes, actually, in childhood, our brain is larger, director of brain imaging and neurophysiology lab at the University of Milwaukee, then during the teenage years, our brain is getting rid of those connections that really weren't used, and it prunes back. It actually makes the brain faster and more efficient. She says, it's a mistake for teenagers to use cannabis. He said, it's the absolute worst time, she says, because the mind-altering drug can disrupt development. Think of the teen year, she says, as the last golden opportunity to make the brain as healthy and as smart as possible. Cannabis can stop this development. Next article. It says adolescent pot use leaves lasting mental deficits. Developing brain susceptible to lasting damage from exposure to marijuana. I've got all this posted on the website. The persistent dependent use of marijuana before the age of 18 has been shown to cause lasting harm to the person's intelligence, attention, and memory, according to international research teams. Among the long-range study cohort of more than 1,000 New Zealanders, individuals who started using cannabis in adolescence and use it for years afterwards shows an average decline of 8 IQ points from age 13 to 38, IQ tests were compared. Quitting pot did not appear to reverse the loss, said lead researcher Madeline Meyer, postdoctoral researcher at the Duke University. Now, what we're saying here is you're going to damage your brain. It's not going to come back. You're going to lose IQ points, but you're also going to lose the ability to have better reasoning skills as an adult. Here's another one. Cannabis during pregnancy impairs baby's brain development. Although it doesn't compare to fetal alcohol syndrome, cannabis exposure in the womb can cause a number of problems. Children whose mothers use marijuana during pregnancy have a higher risk of stunted growth and developing ADHD, anxiety, and depression later in life. According to the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, more than 10% of unborn children in the U.S. and Europe have been exposed to cannabis. Now, I just want you to know that if you basically are a pregnant person or a pregnant – I mean, I should pregnant person. Politically correct statement slipped through with a Freudian lapse. When you're a female and you're pregnant, okay, you're not going to get pregnant if your guy on the ship's going to have weird stuff going on. You know, you basically need to stay away from cannabis. It's very, very, very important. Here's another one. Marijuana may disrupt brain development. Okay, the term pothead takes on a new meaning when a study that suggests adolescents and young adults who smoked a lot of marijuana are more likely than non-users to have disrupted brain development. Using brain scans, researchers found abnormalities in the area of the brain that interconnected brain areas involving regions involving the memory, attention, decision-making, that's very important, language, and executive functioning skills. The findings are of particular concern because adolescents are a crucial period of brain development. Now, so you guys go to my website, healthmasters.com news stories, and you can read through all of these in detail. Now, I said all this to say this. If a person's 24, 25, 26 years old and they're developed, their brains are there, and they're using marijuana recreationally, I don't agree with it, but I don't care. I really don't care, whatever. It's not going to affect their brain as far as I know. It may affect their attitude because it's going to elevate estrogen levels, et cetera, but I don't care. But if their children are using pot, it's going to really, really affect them. I've seen it over and over and over again. Now, let's go back to the use of medical marijuana for all types of diseases. I think that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Why? Because if the CBD portion of it or even the psychoactive products portion of it helps to deal with pain or stress or whatever, so when somebody has PTSD, it's either using this or using a whole bunch of drugs, I'd rather have them use that. But stay away from it as children. It's very, very important. Also, teach your children to make good decisions. I have a daughter, okay? I'm not going to mention any names. And she's in college now. She's 18 years old. And the other day she came over and she talked to me. She said, we're going to be going to the beach this weekend with a bunch of friends. And I said, well, are you driving or is somebody else driving? She said, no, I'm riding with friends. And I'm going to go to a beach and we're getting basically a, how would you say this, a B&B, Airbnb, and we're renting a house. And we've got probably about 20 people going. And we're all going to be spending the night in this house on the beach. And I said, okay. I said, is this boys and girls together or is this just girls? And she goes, it's boys and girls together. And I just remember, she goes to a Christian university. And I said, well, do you really think you should do that? She goes, well, what do you mean? She goes, I'm not going to have any guys with me. She goes, I said, does that matter? I said, let me explain something to you. Have you heard of date rape drugs? And she goes, yeah, I have, matter of fact. And I said, well, I have a friend of mine who basically had a daughter get stuck on some date rape drugs and got date raped. I told her, I said, you're a virgin. I said, how would you like to lose your virginity by a date rape drug because you spent the night with a bunch of boys in the house and you had no idea that you got raped? She goes, I don't know, that's a pretty bad idea. But she goes, I don't think that'll happen. I said, that's right. You don't think that's going to happen. I said, how do you know all the people that are coming to this Airbnb? She goes, well, no, I don't. I said, how do you know the owners of the Airbnb aren't going to call the police when they find out 30 or 40 kids descend upon their Airbnb for one night or two nights and they're wiping it out? Now, Austin, you know I'm right.
I said,
have all these people coming in now. We have this giant party going on at Airbnb, and everybody's inviting friends to invite other friends. Now, you have no idea who's going to be there, and it turns into this giant orgy. And she goes, well, Dad, I don't think that would happen. I said, well, I didn't say it wouldn't happen. I'm pretty sure it probably won't happen. I said, but what's going to happen? Think through what you're doing. Think through where you're going. Mama told me not to come. I've seen things I should have never seen, the old song from Three Dog Night. And here's what I told her. I said, let me explain something to you. I said, you start doing stuff like this and getting involved in stuff like this, and you start crashing your grades in school, Daddy ain't going to be there paying tuition anymore, and you're going to be getting student loans. And I said, that's how quick that happens. And I said, think through what you're doing. You got a big biology test on Monday, and quite frankly, you're not doing as well in biology as you need to, and so you really need to tighten this thing up some. And then she starts texting. And then I said, and also, she goes, Dad, I just canceled my trip over there. I just told him I wasn't going. I told him I had a biology test. I realize that you are right. Okay, why did I just say that? This is your responsibility as an adult. If you've seen things you shouldn't have seen, been places you shouldn't have been, done things you shouldn't have done, had situations arise that are bad. Like, for instance, let's say the police get called to this house and there's drugs involved and everybody gets arrested because there's underage drinking. Oh, that won't happen. That never happens. Ah, BS. It happened in my neighborhood a few years ago. I had our next door neighbors, we went to a doggone Christian convention in Orlando one night. We come home and there's like 15 sheriff's officers parked in my driveway surrounding the house next door with about 40 kids in doggone handcuffs and basically the zip ties all over my yard, hanging all over my grass, and I'm like, what the heck? And I asked the cops, I said, what are you doing? And they said, we had an underage drinking party. We had a young man here turning 21 tonight at midnight, and we busted the party tonight at 10 o'clock while he was still 20 years old. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding. You got nothing better to do than that? Well, nope, it's not just that. They had 15, 16, 17-year-old kids that invited who were also drinking on the premises, and they're all in zip ties too. Don't tell me it won't happen. It happened next door to us, and Austin remembers it. He was on the other side of the gate talking to the guys who were in zip ties. We were trying to figure out how to help them out. And finally, I walked over to the neighbor, and I said, look, here's the deal. I said, you're fixing to go to jail because now the adult's being arrested for contributing to the delinquency of a minor. And this guy was a noted citizen in the community, liberal. He had an Obama sticker on his car and also in the front yard, so I guess they're all about having parties. But the reality is, I told him, I said, look, dude, you're fixing to get arrested. If your wife can't get you, I'll come get you. I'll write a check or whatever I need to do, bond you out, and I'll help you. Don't worry about it because this is ridiculous and you're in a mess. Happened to my neighbor. Kid you not. Austin was there. He saw it too. Don't go to parties if you're under the age of 21 when there's any opportunity of alcohol being there, because guess what, guys? You may end up with a criminal record. I love you guys. I appreciate you too. You guys are absolutely awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. I appreciate you so much. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. I'll do the write-up, Austin. I'll talk to you guys on Monday. God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you for the support, guys. You guys have a blessed, safe weekend. I hope everybody is safe this weekend and stays awake, stays frosty. And please try to wake up at least one person this weekend. I mean that sincerely. If we can all reach out and try to wake up one person, even with just a minor topic, to spark something in their mind and realize what's really going on, or at least get a glimpse, a glimmer, it makes it that much easier for them to wake up other people, because it's hard to turn down the truth once you actually see what's going on. Thank you for your support. Be sure if you need anything from us, healthmasters.com website, product of the week, it's prostate support, excellent product, and the magnesium brain food on our summer super sale for 15% off, and we have the body balance Himla on a super sale for 30% off right now over the weekend. Be sure to check it out. Thank you guys for your support. Be safe. Have a blessed weekend. We'll talk to you again Monday as always.